to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market. He is Ramon in Hendersonville, Tennessee. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports in downtown Pittsburgh. And, Moan,
yeah.
The Pro Bowl happened.
It did.
Who cares?
What used to be the Pro Bowl, right? So I'm indifferent on it almost. I feel like we need a game, but I understand why we took the game away also, too. You know, so I want to know from our listeners, our fan base. I think they had a multitude of different events. The ones I saw was dodgeball. I saw they had a tug of war. There was a throwing contest.
It was accuracy.
So where are we at on that? My kids loved it. My youngest for sure was excited to see some of the stuff that the guys were doing, the way they were going about the games. Guys just basically having fun. So I'm like, I get what they're doing. They're making football fun for the consumer. I mean, you see these same guys tackling hit each other all year long, and then they get to the reward game, and the reward game is more physicality and hard tackling. So I get why, you know, the guys were okay with moving in this route. And I get it for the fans too, because there's a smaller generation that they have to engage with, DK.
There is. I am. See, here's the problem. When I can start dating myself on certain references, but all-star games in general.
Yeah.
That's what the Pro Bowl is supposed to be. Have changed so much in really every sport except baseball.
Yeah.
And baseball kind of lends itself to that for the simple reason that if you limit the pitchers to a single inning, you're not really running the risk of anyone getting hurt.
Right.
Which is, let's not pretend otherwise, the athlete's singular goal in participating in any of these events. Whatever happens here today, skills competition, this and that, running fast, yeah, whatever. I am not getting hurt. So we have seen this go across the board, including the skills events, including what I thought was the absolute marquee treasure of all skills events in all sports, and that was the NBA dunk competition.
Oh, yeah.
Which is now, like back when Dominique Wilkins was winning it.
Yes.
Dominique was a veteran. Now, not to turn this into a basketball subject, okay, but the guys they have participating in it now are all kids. Right?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, because they're like, you go. Okay, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that anymore. Okay, you're not going to see LeBron and
no,
these guys
he's,
doing
he's
that.
He's yet to do it. Absolutely. Yeah. He's yet to do it.
You're not going to see that. So with football, all sports, Moan.
Yeah.
You can't even pretend to have a game.
No, you can't, man, because it requires a certain amount of physicality. And truthfully, I will say this is almost fan response, you know, from the NFL on what they want from the game, because it was basically guys playing out of position in an all-star game at the Pro Bowl destinations. And I think also taking it away from Hawaii may have added to it a little bit too. You're in the States. More family is around. Guys have the opportunity that, look, I want to chill. And this is the separator too, though, DK. Those games used to mean a lot to a bunch of folks, either because of bonuses in their contracts or the fact that, you know, it really meant something as far as like home field when it comes down to the NBA, as far as home court advantage. But now guys make a lot. They train all year long. And then, like I said, to reiterate the money aspect of it, why would I go hurt myself when I either have a big contract coming or I just signed one and my team needs me? There isn't the longing for off the field payments anymore for guys like that.
They've even tried that. In the NHL, they've tried paying the winning team, and every player ends up with like 50 grand or something. Like there's a $1 million prize that's split.
Yeah.
They split them into four teams, and one team wins the $1 million. And like, I can tell you from talking to some of the Penguins who were on one of those winning teams, they were very much motivated by that. Like they went through the motions for like the first 2/3 of the game, and they were like, hang on a second. Chris Letang from the Penguins talked about it openly. Said, "Oh, $1 million? That's all we were talking about on a bench."
No, and that's what you gotta kind of have to do a little bit. I saw the NFC team won this year when it came down to
35-33. Yes,
that's way better than the NBA All Star Weekend. Okay, what is it? 186-174 is usually the score.
Something like that. Yeah, a lot of defense played in all these games.
But you know what, though, DK? Even through all of this, you look at that crowd that was in Vegas, it was still sold out.
It's amazing how that works, though, isn't it? You know why? Because it had the shield on it. It had the shield stamped on it. That's why.
And that right there is a bigger conversation on what the shield entails, right?
Let's do that in the second segment here. But to round out the Pro Bowl subject here,
yeah,
there's still enough football-looking stuff that happens, though, isn't there?
It is. It shows guys' athletic ability. They had, like, the best diving catch where guys are doing stuff, or the way they play dodgeball, seeing Saquon Barkley dodge, dip, duck, and dive again. You know what I'm saying? And it was impressive to see that. It was also cool to see, even in a game, the competitive nature of some of those guys, like a Saquon or Myles Garrett, throwing the football like he's friggin' Randy Johnson. Like, that still is a part of it. Devontae Davis, another guy that was really adamant about winning. Minka was one of those dudes that was, you know, playfully got serious. I mean, that's the side of, I guess, the funness of the Pro Bowl that the fan needs to see a little bit more of at times. And truthfully, the way guys don't hate each other.
Well, that's actually, I mean, if you look at, now everybody's mic'd up. Yes. Everybody's got a separate camera. A lot of them are holding their own cameras. They have players will host an event. And I'm talking about all four major sports. They turn it into a get-to-know-somebody spectacle as well. I am not going to begrudge somebody, least of all a younger generation, from looking at it and saying, hey, this is actually pretty cool. I feel like I got to know some of my favorite players a little bit better. And like you said, that they all get along.
Yeah.
When you see a Steeler and a Raven.
Oh, my God.
I know, okay? Especially someone like Minka, who takes these rivalries so seriously.
And by the way, there was a kid that came up, I think, with a Flacco jersey on. And Minka signed.
I saw this. But Minka first joked with him. Did you see it?
Yeah,
Minka goes, you're going to have to take that off first. Yeah. The kid was a good one.
Yeah, to your point about how he takes it serious. No, that guy is black and gold through and through, man.
Especially when it comes to the divisional stuff. Man, this guy. When we come back, the shield, the value of the shield. Mon, we talk, you and I, a lot about that day in Chicago. Okay. Alejandro Villanueva threw a whole series of either misunderstandings or miscommunications or whatever else. At this point, I don't even really care anymore what happened.
Me either.
But Al goes out there by himself and they're standing for the anthem. And where's the rest of the team? And everybody has to explain it. You stood there like you're Mr. Union Chiefs, fielding 1,000 questions from us as we're coming in and out. And that was the day the NFL was supposed to die. Remember that?
I remember that.
That's it. It's all over. This is the NFL is going to decrease in popularity. Some of that was political. Actually, a lot of that was political.
A lot of it, yeah.
And it was just, how can this happen? And the NFL is going to be a disaster, and we're not watching. We're boycotting, and the ratings are going. Whatever happened to that, Moan?
I think it's still the number one Monday, the number one show on television.
Oh, no. It is the number one through 50 shows on television. Okay, let's be clear on that, because each game counts as its own program.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Nielsen ratings at the end of the year, I mean, mm-hmm. Super Bowl ends up like almost in its own stratosphere.
Right, right. Okay?
And then come the two championship games, and then comes and it just keeps going right down the list. And the first 20, at least the 20 that I've seen for sure, are all NFL games.
Yeah.
This isn't interesting. This is not.
Yeah.
It's only growing.
It is. And we spoke about the Pro Bowl and what, you know, it still looked like it was sold out for the most part. The production of it is by far one of the best you have in all sports, right? You say to yourself, this is a gimmick game for fans and the players to enjoy. How do you still sell this out? the Shield, DK. Whether you know, whether it's corporate businesses buying the tickets to fill the stadiums, they're still getting bought, and people are still watching and paying attention to it, DK.
So in a new city.
And mm-hmm. and this is the thing, too. You speak about that 2017 year where everything just kind of crashed in on the NFL politically, just the way people felt in their stances, just day to day. They really made it about everything but football, and the biggest conversation was, this is the end of it, as you said a second ago. And lo and behold, the guy that's pretty much, you know, a commander of the NFL, Roger Goodell, he continues to get about $1 million tip. Why, DK? From each owner. For what reasons? He's growing the heck out of the NFL.
All they care about.
From
hey, Raj, next time you get a Ray Rice situation, suspend him for more than 2 games. Otherwise, here's a raise.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay?
And he's doing just that, DK. From those days of football getting very political, people still watched. Some turned away, but I get you. I bet you some of those fan bases, teams started to win, or they got a new quarterback. Or by the time that the draft comes around, you find yourself hopeful again. Well, the league and his crowd may have lost a few, DK, but then they became bigger. And then they drag you in because gambling is now allowed at some places in around the NFL. There's partnership with players and whatnot. Like, this is what we're dealing with. As those few left, about 10 times that came back to it, and the money shows it. The numbers show it. The views show it.
Well, you mentioned the gambling, and there's all different types of gambling. And there's fantasy football level gambling. There's also the DraftKings FanDuel type of gambling, where you have a certain player you're paying into an organization, as opposed to doing a pool with your buddies. And what it does more than anything else is it heightens your interest and your investment.
Yes, it does.
In this case, literally, in the product. Okay, if you're watching games between, I don't know, Indianapolis and Jacksonville or something. I guess we can't really use Jacksonville as that. How about Indianapolis and Atlanta? Let's go.
Carolina. There. Okay,
Atlanta. Carolina, yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you watch a Thursday night stinker like that, you're locked in, man, because you started a running back in that game. Or you've got something going on. The ratings and the various different things that the NFL does to bring this pool together, there's nothing like it. People will occasionally try to make comparisons to this sport or that sport, or such as there is no comparison.
No. And it's even, DK, it even hits every age demographic too. So we know it has this older season, like watchers, right? They have the middle age. They have my age. They have every generation it is. And now, DK, you know what they even did? And I know it works. They went to Nickelodeon. And they have that one.
What do you mean?
They have the Splash Zone. They make cartoon graphics around watching football, and kids are engaged with it.
I wasn't aware of this. What kind of TV are your kids leaving on there for you to watch?
It's actually really entertaining. Gosh, what is the former football player? Nate Burleson. He's the one that usually commentates it. Yo, it is really good. The Splash Zone.
Nate's got it all going on, but
Nate got it all. Again,
it's
afforded NFL players like him and Strahan to be day-to-day hosts, where this was journalist people, you know, that really did these things. But Nate Burleson does the Nickelodeon broadcast. DK, hear me out.
I've got to see this.
Really, I knew
nothing about this. That's really cool.
But then they go from there to where they say most people don't want to hear the analysts and the color guy speak on games. So what did they do? They also went to ESPN too, and they put in Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, and they bring in your favorite celebrities, politicians, entertainers. They tapped every market. Just when you thought that, look, they're bringing in $18 billion a year, now they're doing even more because the Shield, and that's why we all are within 2 weeks reading every storyline, comparing each team to one another as we get ready for the Super Bowl, DK. I went to the grocery store today. They already have our big fruit platters for the Super Bowl. That's what it does.
There's something to be said for, the Super Bowl. It's almost like we can talk about the NFL. We can talk about other sports down here. We can talk about the NFL here, and then the Super Bowl is like still way up there. Okay, it's in some other bracket. I mean, you've been part of that. I mean, that's it's a thing. It's an event unto itself.
And you know, we have players from different nationalities and have traveled the world and love other sports. Some love basketball probably more than you do football. But this one particular conversation always came up. Soccer, world soccer, football versus American football. If it can take over American NFL football, DK, and we had a really good conversation about it. Let me get there and I'll explain. I know the World Cup and what it means worldwide, viewers. Yes. As far as soccer coming here, and it is growing. The MLS is growing. I'm into Nashville SC. I'm there now, all into it. It's gaining new viewers and consumers. I'm one of them. But I just don't know if anything can really take over American football because how strong the Shield is here. Not here. Speaking worldwide, because no. American football is America's baby.
It is, and it's a tough, tough sell overseas. I'm going to share a little story with you.
Okay.
I was in, this was about 20 years ago, the World League. I was over in Amsterdam. Okay, mm-hmm. I was visiting a friend, and I took this friend to the game, Amsterdam Admirals against the Frankfurt Galaxy. Stadium held about 13,000 people, okay? Uh-huh. And they had no idea what the hell was going on.
Really?
They had no idea, okay? All they knew was that at every stoppage,
yeah,
the stadium in-game people would play dancing music, so they would get up and dance.
It's a party!
Okay? Yeah. And then the game would, you know, they'd line up back at the line of scrimmage and everybody'd be like, oh, man. And they'd sit down. It was a bummer. And the number one question that you hear from people overseas, and anyone who's watching this overseas can back me up on this, and you'll do so in the comments.
And we have a big following, too. Yep. I want to hear from this.
And they'll ask this, why do they stop all the time? See, you don't even think about that. What? You were in the league for 11 years. It never once crossed your mind. Why are you stopping all the time?
No.
We thought this was rugby. We thought you were just going to push randomly back and forth over 100 yards to see who scores. They don't understand the huddle. They don't understand all the pauses. Just line up and play. I mean, they play for 3 seconds, and then they stop again, and then the music comes back on.
No.
All I'm saying is, American football has a prayer. There's a reason the NFL is taking everything in such pieces over there now. Like, here's a couple of games for London. Oh. Here's a couple for Germany. Just get a little bit used to it. Stop asking questions like, why do they stop all the time? And eventually, if people come to like it and watch the NFL, now that you can watch it worldwide, you know, internet and everything.
Whoa.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then gradually, and you know, we've talked a lot about the Steelers and their loyal fans in Mexico, the way the country of Mexico is behind the Steelers. It's a crazy thing.
Okay? Yeah, it is.
That's the kind of thing that, all right, we're going to do a couple of expansion teams. We're going to do one in London. We're going to do one in Frankfurt so that you have two European teams, not whatever. We're going to have another one in Mexico City. We're going to do this. And you watch. Wow. Okay. That's what it's going to take, because you can't succeed without clubs. You can't succeed without having your own teams to root for.
You know? Logistically, you're saying these are separate entities that will go up against one another, or that will be like Frankfurt playing the Pittsburgh Steelers at some point?
No. I mean, you'd want, ideally, what you'd want is a European division.
Okay.
Okay. So that you have four teams that can play against each other and hate each other and AFC North each other. Although in Europe, whenever they fight, they take it a hell of a lot more seriously than we do on this side of the planet. Do. So you want to be careful with that. But you'd have four. You'd have a European division, and that way they still have to come over, and our teams would still have to go over there, but not as often.
Yeah,
you'd have two games like that. But you can tell this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart.
I see that, but I'd
love to see it.
This is most interesting too about the Shield, and I think this is a point to be made at some point.
It can happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but this is the thing here that I think is necessary for something like that to be developed, or there has to be a secondary league. Every pro sport here has a development league.
Yes.
NFL, it does suck.
Except one.
That guys can't really get real football season or be called up. You know, I get that. Like, when football is done, like, you're done with it. Like, there is no other level. Like, guys – can get an understanding in baseball. Oh, I was in the bigs, got put down, they got put down again. Now I'm in another country. Oh, another country. You probably see that door closing a little bit gradually, a better gradual sense than like what the NFL does to you.
I'd love to see a D League or whatever it is that the NBA calls it now. Is it D League? Are they called it?
It's G League now. Something. Yeah.
G League. Yeah.
Yep.
I'd love to see that in the NFL. The only option that people have now, if they don't make it, is they could, you know, everyone says, go to the CFL. CFL rosters have Canadian.
Yeah. Majority.
Yeah. It's a majority of the team has to be actually Canadian. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're Chase Claypool, great. Okay.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, you got to fight for just a handful of roster spots to be a Rough Rider, you know?
Yeah.
So, or a Rough Rider.
Yo.
Somebody's going to get that. Somebody's going to get that.
It is. I love it. But the Shield is here to stay, DK, as far as we know.
Yep. When we come back, the only segment that matters.
That's Hey Moan, which is here to stay.
Welcome back to the only segment that matters. The only segments that matter to me and Moan, though, are the ones in between the segments that we share with you. Instead of just, like, we start talking about stuff.
Yeah, and we do.
We just got into a really good conversation about stadium design.
Yeah, we did.
And we're sitting here looking on the screen at designs I mentioned to Moan in Regina, Saskatchewan. The home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, CFL, since I've mentioned the Rough Riders, might be the most beautiful football stadium I've ever seen.
It looks good.
You can see it. You can see a picture of it here if you're watching our video here up in the corner. It is just gorgeous. And we start talking about Heinz Field, Acrisure Stadium, whatever you want to call it. And
they pay for it. It's Acrisure.
It's Acrisure. Yeah, yeah. But it's not the most aesthetically exciting sports facility.
It's kind of bland. Yeah, it's a little bland.
And it's got the yellow seats and otherwise doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, character to it, quirks, things that you're looking for to make a stadium that feels like it's really yours, right?
You're right.
I got two ideas. This is what I was just sharing with Moan.
Yeah, you didn't tell me. I want to hear them now.
Yeah, I said, let's save it. Let's just put it on a show. One is... that all of the steel, that's really lame silver painted steel that looks like somebody from a used car establishment just came and did this with it. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Should be the oxidized, nasty, harsh looking steel of the U.S. steel building.
I get it.
Like tough. Grit. Like it's Pittsburgh tough, right?
Okay. Yep.
The other one is that the two rotundas,
okay,
which are great. When they're filled with people, it's a great scene. They're all cheering for you guys down there.
Mm-hmm.
They have these silly little cocktail umbrellas on the top.
What you want to do with them? I know exactly what you mean.
Blow them up. Get rid of them. And you know what you'd have in their place? These two awesome smokestacks.
Oh, come out of them.
And you know what happens when the Steelers score a touchdown? It's not some little pump of ketchup when you get to the red zone. It's fire.
You know how much that's going to cost week in and week out, DK. Well, unless we're playing in the same offense. But besides that.
It's either that or an inside linebacker. Which one do you want, people?
You know what? I actually like that. There will be a point, though, where that stadium does have to be under consideration for – do we say new stadium or do we say highly renovated stadium?
Yeah, that's when you start talking. You start getting into the debate about roof or no roof and whether or not.
Because no way you do a roof.
Yeah, you can do a partial. You can do a retractable because then what ends up happening is you're about to find out in Nashville.
Yeah.
Okay, why do you think they're doing it? I mean, they're going for year-round events that can spill over from the Nashville Convention Center across the river. And make more money year round. I mean, that's why everything happens, you know? And
it's I will Shield, say
so it'll work.
I will say I am excited to see this new stadium come to Nashville. Like I get the nostalgia of what the old stadium represent, new team coming into this to the city and everything here in Nashville. But I'm super excited because to your point though, you're gonna get the Super Bowl eventually. You're gonna get WrestleMania. I still enjoy that. You're gonna get every major concert that comes through. Also, you get NCAA men's basketball, women's basketball tournament, March Madness, all those types of things. Everything. National championship. Also, but Pittsburgh being a host city like that, DK, you ready for a world like that? If there is a new stadium with the roof?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's more money. It's okay. More money for the city. Who says no to that? You know,
okay.
it's more hotels filled. It's more restaurants it's occupied. Growth. It's just more vitality. You know, we'll take it. Let's get to the before we forget what segment this is.
I know, we were almost running
this
in.
This happens to be the Hey Moan segment, which is brought to you by For Real. I was just there, actually.
I know, DK. Our
Get-Go Cafe and Market friends, where quality is at the core of every menu item. Three expert chefs fine-tune every sub, burger, salad, wrap, drink, and app to craft them for craveability. Order your favorite entry at the Get-Go Cafe and Market today. Better believe it. The entry today comes from Greg. He sent this on Facebook. He says, "Hey Moan, we constantly hear these Mike Tomlin haters throw out the same two specific accusations, and I won't even dignify the he won with Cowers players BS. One, he can't win the big games, and two, the team was unprepared. Now, as a casual viewer, I look at every playoff loss individually in respect to the circumstances and try never to comment like that. So, my question's for you. Did Pounce have a bad snap because he was unprepared? Did Ben throw three picks because of Coach T? Or is this really just the way things go?"
Man, that is a great...
Well, see, I see what Greg is saying.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Greg, let's go
is
there.
Is it
okay?
All Tomlin's fault that the playoff loss to Cleveland? You know?
I've heard Pounce talk about that snap numerous times. It just happened. He's like, ain't no way that happened. You know, like, that's unbelievable. It wasn't a sabotage thing. I've seen this guy cry about this one. Ben throwing interceptions, like, the same thing you see him do on those big wins when he's throwing for 500 yards is the same thing that kind of happens on those interceptions. It's just that players just so happen to make better play than he does on a play like that, or wide receiver doesn't come back, or maybe he just did throw a bad ball. Like, all of those are the reasons you lose, not because of preparation. The coach does have a certain level of you know, responsibility for wins and losses if it trends in a bad direction, like, all the time. But I think we take for granted sometimes how hard it is to win in almost any sport. You got to have the players. The chemistry has to be right. Mistakes have to be at a minimum. And you got to make your plays. Like, that's a lot that goes into it when it comes down to winning and losing. Like, to get back to a Super Bowl, there are some historic organizations that have been, you know, and never won. You know, here's an organization that's won six, and I'm okay with that. Like, that's phenomenal. Like, what was the Patriots before they started the Brady train?
Mm-hmm.
Just another team in the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, look at the team I cover here in Nashville. Never won one. Have the Oilers even won one? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's a no. Yeah.
That's a conversation to be had about what it takes. Like, the methods these days is people are starting to push their chips to the middle of the table more. And that also means front offices too. We got an organization that gave up a first round draft pick to go get a coach. They also paid a quarterback $250 million. What did that net for them? You know, but then you have a Rams situation where it does just so happen to work. So which organization was right or wrong? Both did the exact same thing, essentially. All-star coach that they had just hired in Nathaniel Hackett. Got quarterbacks, one traded for one, one also traded for one, and gave him a contract. And one went to the Super Bowl and won it, the other didn't. So how do you explain it when it comes down to wins and losses and coaches and players? Like, the game sometimes plays itself.
Yeah, preparation can come up in a context like the Cleveland game because the bad happened at the beginning. And then everything got great in the second half when it looked like the world's greatest comeback. could take place. Okay. And it was well underway. Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
And could the whole game have gone that way? Yeah. Was it a lack of preparation at the very beginning? We're talking about a snapped football.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm convinced to this day that things just snowballed even on Ben, because there's an extra pressure on Ben in that setting, knowing what we ended up watching play out on the sideline later.
Yeah.
Geez, this could,
That was, yeah, he knew.
This could, yeah, of course he knew. And this could be it. So the snap happens, and now he's got to get it all back.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got to find a way. I'm just going to throw this ball over here. Do you see what I'm saying? Am I wrong here? You're on the field, not me.
That plays a good portion of it too, man, where guys find themselves trying to be Superman. Remember, we spoke about this with Kenny Pickett when he first got the reins. You can't play that role. Sometimes the game has to come to you, and sometimes when you do try to force it, like I said, the game will take you to the deep end and drown you under. I don't care if you have a really good team or not. The year we lost to Jacksonville, that 2017 year, like legitimately, we pulled out every stop we had to keep in that game and win that game right there. And it wasn't enough. Do I think we were the better team? Yeah, I feel like we were, but they were daggone good too. And then they go to New England and lose also. So I don't – the game, DK, like we were good enough in that playoff game. You know what I'm saying? And still didn't matter because the defense or the offense made too many mistakes. So was that on the head coach or – I mean, that can be player to player sometimes when you break it down like this.
Yeah, this begets another conversation of something that Art Rooney brought up in his interview with the beat reporters a few days ago regarding Tomlin and the consistency that he brings and the value of it in saying that he gives us chances, multiple chances to get there. This is kind of unpopular with some fans, but sports executives believe this wholeheartedly, that the hardest part is getting the chances.
Well,
that to an extent, playoffs and things like that are an athlete definitely won't want to hear this, but they're luck.
Yeah.
There's certain
things. It plays a part.
Yeah. There's certain things that have to go your way to win a championship. And when we go back to this, Steelers winning the Super Bowl and Jerome fumbling at the goal line and Ben chasing the dude who had just gotten stabbed the night before.
Yeah.
And so the guy got stabbed the night before, couldn't run fast enough. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Okay. And were the Steelers a lesser team or a better team because the dude got stabbed the night before? No.
This is, again, it's so many things that goes into a team winning and losing. I know, the old stale thing of, Coach Tomlin versus Cowher versus, Noel, like, trust me, you have it good in Pittsburgh.
Let's do it again tomorrow, Mo.
No doubt.